So we're going to begin our period of discussion by looking at what has been our theme for this year. We've taken it from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57 and 58, and it has been our habit to repeat this together. One of the ways that we learn things is by repeating them over and over again. So let's say this together. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, beginning. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be firm, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And there is so much in that set of verses that we have been able to sort of focus on that throughout this year. One of the things that we, of course, confront as we live out our lives, as we try to be the kind of people that God wants us to be, is ungodly people. And it's just a fact of life that there are wicked people in this world. I was reading, I don't know how many of you are following what's been going on in Chicago, but Chicago is dealing with some horrible crime. And I'm not sure that I know all of the genesis of the crime that's happening in Chicago, but did anybody else read the story that I read about the 40 kids that went into big kids? People between the age of, I think they said 12 and 20, 40 of these people went into a gas station, a quick stop, and they basically cleaned the place out. People were walking out with armloads of stuff. And we've seen it in Portland. We've seen it in Seattle. We've seen it in San Francisco. The world that we live in is a place, well, this is the way that Paul described it to Timothy. He said, know this, that in the last days, grievous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof, from these also turn away. There's a lot of words there that ring true. And to be honest, there are a lot of words that are included in what Paul said to Timothy that are not the kinds of words that we typically use. It's just not part of our vocabulary. So I thought it might be helpful to look at some more modern translations. Of course, that was the American Standard Translation. But look at some more modern translations. Same words in the original language, but they express it a little bit differently. This is the New King James Translation. It says, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says this way, people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, No matter what you do, they're not going to listen. They're slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what's good. Traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The Amplified Bible, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Amplified Bible, but it basically takes the original language, and then when there are synonyms for various words, it gives you the primary word that they think it ought to be translated as. And then in parenthesis, it gives you some of the synonyms for that primary word. This is the way they describe this. People will be lovers of self. And then they say that means narcissistic, self-focused, lovers of money, impelled by greed, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, profane. And then I supplied this word so that it would make sense. And they will be unloving, devoid of natural human affection, calloused, inhumane. How inhumane must we be when people can abuse each other? Without natural affection, a man who beats his wife, a wife who beats her husband, a child who beats their parent, a parent who beats a child, a parent who would kill an unborn baby. Without natural affection, calloused, inhumane. They just have no feeling. They're irreconcilable. Malicious gossips, devoid of self-control. They're, and parenthetically, intemperate or immoral. Brutal, haters of good. Traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of, and parenthetically, they supplied sensual pleasures rather than lovers of God. And we talked a little bit about this morning about pleasure as it was experienced by Solomon. And some people try to understand the difference between pleasure that we ought to avoid and pleasure that we ought to experience. And their way of describing that is to say pleasure that we avoid is sensual pleasure. It's pleasure that's only for the senses. But there's some pleasure that we ought to enjoy. Just waking up in the morning and seeing the beautiful sunrise. Going to bed at night after a beautiful sunset and watching a hummingbird as it feeds on the flowers in your backyard. Some things are just sensual. Some things are not. Well, the contemporary English version says it this way. People will love only themselves and money. They will be proud, stuck up. That's a good word. Rude, disobedient to their parents. They will also be ungrateful, godless, heartless, and hateful. Their words will be cruel. And they use words to be cruel. They'll have no self-control, no pity. People will hate everything that's good. They'll be sneaky, reckless, puffed up with pride, instead of loving pleasure, instead of loving God, they will love pleasure. Again, all good words. And I think they describe some of the people that I have interacted with. We see them in the wider world around us. We have to deal with it every day. And as Christians, we're kind of like Lot, who vexed his righteous soul seeing what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. But we have to deal with that. We have to be steadfast in the face of those kinds of people. But as I was reading this, it occurred to me that it's even sadder that sometimes these people are among us. It's one thing to see it in the world. I kind of expect it in the world. It's another thing to see it among us. That's really sad. You know, that's what Timothy says, or what Paul said to Timothy. He said, these people have a form of godliness, but they've denied the power thereof. A form of godliness, but they deny the power. That's people who say, you know, that's just who I am. I'm an angry person. And that shouldn't be. I'm just a hateful person. And that shouldn't be. And sometimes I say things that are cruel. But not here. But Paul says it's even here. Jude said that certain men have crept in privily. He was talking about among the Christians. He says they crept in privily. And in verse 19, he characterizes them as not having the Spirit. And that harkens back to what we've been talking about when we've been reading through the book of Romans. Remember, we've said there are in Romans two kinds of people, people who are led by the Spirit and people that are led by the flesh. And you're going to encounter both of those people among us. Some people profess religion. They're even found in churches. And they're zealous for form. Remember, that's what the Apostle Paul said. They have a form of godliness. They're zealous for form. But they deny any ability of the Spirit to influence their life. That's just me. I've always been that way. I've always been angry. That should not be. There's no real piety in the heart of that person. You know, form is easier than transformation. That's just a fact. It's easier for me to sing just the form than it is to imbibe of the Spirit in that song. to make that spirit mine. It's easy to sing about love. It's hard to love. And some people sing about love louder than they ought to. Romans 12 at verse 2. The apostle talks to Christians. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, and that means demonstrate or show, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're going to be steadfast. We're going to be unmovable. We are always going to abound in the work that God gives us to do. Brethren, that's transformation. That's not form. It doesn't matter whether you sing real good alto, as much as it matters whether you let the words that you sing reach down deeply into your heart and improve your life. Jesus said this in Matthew 15. You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people heareth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as their doctrine the precepts of men. Now look at what the Apostle Paul said, Peter said in 2 Peter, the second chapter, beginning at verse 1. Among you also there shall be false teachers who shall privily bring in destructive heresies, denying even the master that bought them. Many will follow in their lascivious doings, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and in covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you. Sometimes people who have a form of godliness but don't let it affect them want to do nothing more than tell you how you ought to live. They make merchandise of you. They want to own you. Sometimes it's so bad that the only reason they're here is because they can make a show of being godly so they can sell you a book. So they can sell you a CD. So that they can sell you a meme that will look good hanging on your wall. That's not what we're about here. We are not about suffering those people. If you come to worship here, you will not see anything in the lobby as you come into this building that indicates that somebody has something to sell you. You won't see it when you go out in the parking lot. People are not going to rush out in the parking lot, open up their trunks, and begin hawking their wares. It is not going to be a part of this group. Paul said, people that are like that do so much damage. You must turn away from them. We turn away from people who teach false doctrines. And we should. But we need to turn away from people who say, The Bible really can't change you. You are what you are. God's word can't get into your heart and actually transform you. You just need the form of godliness. That's not it. I think that's what you want. I think that's what we all want. I think that's why we come together in a place like this, so that we can be people of God, becoming disciples of His, being more and more like God, being more focused on Jesus. We will not deny the Master that brought us, that bought us. We will always revel in His grace. If we can help you to become a Christian, to start this walk together, we want you to let us know. We'll baptize you this morning. We'll baptize you at any time. But think about it.